Hello, welcome to Careers in Tech Show. I'm your host, Patrick. On the Careers in Tech Show, we explore the stories, secrets, and skills of people who broke into tech without a computer science degree, who are here to share their story with us to impact your own career goals and those around you. We want to help you see the possibilities when it comes to breaking into tech from a non-technical background and working your way up as either product manager, product designer, or software developer. Our mission is to cast the light before you and help you see the bigger picture and realize what is possible if you take that critical step. The show's got episodes where it's product designers, product managers, CTOs, and CEOs, and other people who broke into tech without a standard college degree or computer science background, as well as two boxes for skills like teamwork, negotiation, personal branding, and many more. So if you want to learn and improve your career and professional skills and life, you are going to be right at home with us. If you are looking to have a career in tech from a non-technical background, you can enroll in Scale Embassy Product Accelerator program to help you in your career journey. You have mentorship and support from world-class professionals. Please head over to www.scaleembassy.com and enroll in one of the courses available. We are very happy to have Tom Motimo here with us today. Welcome, Tom.
Hi there. It's good to be here.
Awesome. We're having a very clear weather here. The past, but recently it's been raining. I hope your atmosphere there is good.
Well, it was. It was a couple of weeks ago, but it's changed a little bit since then.
Oh, okay. All right. Can you please tell us a little bit about yourself, Tom?
Yeah, so currently I'm a front-end developer, permanent, and I've been doing this for a living now. I've been in tech for about 10 years, sort of on and off, as I'm sure you'll find out in a minute. But yeah, at the moment, I'm a permanent front-end developer for a charity in the UK.
Awesome. So how did your tech career start out as becoming a software developer? How did you start up as like?
Yeah, so I did a degree in computer graphics in about 2010. From there, I became a sort of a digital designer. So I started off designing banners and assets for websites. That sort of transitioned into designing websites, and from there it moved into building them. And of course, as soon as you or it used to be, as soon as you become someone who built websites, you sort of naturally transition into sort of software engineer as well. Now it's probably a little bit different. I'm not too sure if that path still exists sort of as much as it used to, sort of designer to developer. I'd like to think it does. I know there's obviously a big sort of market out there for computer science grads, but hopefully the path I took does still exist and does sort of demonstrate that you can come from a design background or a product background or whatever and move into these developer roles.
Oh, great. So you came from a design background, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it was sort of a natural path back in sort of 2010, 2011 when I started out. At the time, there was sort of an overlap between website design and website building. Sort of website development wasn't this big sort of software engineer discipline that it is now. It was much more sort of less specialized. So you had one person who would design the website, and then that person would probably also build it. So, the skills were transferable. If you knew how to design a website, you'd probably know enough to build one as well. And like I say, as a sort of website developer, a website builder in those early days, we kind of saw the industry change. So our roles went from building websites to building web applications. And along the way, you picked up JavaScript and you kind of became a proper sort of software developer. Like I say, I think it's a slightly different industry now, but I would I would still think it's possible to sort of move down that path if you're someone who's done a sort of UI design or user experience design. I think if you pick up the skills that also allow you to build those applications, I think you can probably make the jump to software engineering as well. And to be honest, that's probably a really valuable thing to have, because a lot of software engineers who do computer science degrees, who come from a computer science background, they don't necessarily have that sort of design skill set as well. So I think it makes you a much more well-rounded software engineer if you also have sort of design understanding and design background too.
Okay, that's great. So from college, did you have a clear path to what you're going to become? Did you have in mind that you can be a software engineer, or you kind of got to know it after you completed?
Yeah, so it was quite strange, because when I was at university, sort of software engineering was this sort of entirely different discipline. You know, it was for guys who built C++ applications and Windows programs and stuff like that, right? Like phone apps didn't really exist either 10 years ago. So no, I had no aspirations of becoming a software engineer or a software developer. I wanted to be a designer, or maybe an animator or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I did this computer graphics course. And like I say, that obviously naturally transitioned into the working world, where you started off designing assets and posters and banners and stuff for websites with that design skill set. And then there was kind of a clear progression. You started off doing those assets, and then the company trusts you a little bit more, or you move to a different company and then you start designing websites. And then, like I say, you pick up more skills from the guys around you, and the company trusts you even more, and they let you start building websites. And then, like I say, it was just a matter of changing with the industry. But I had no aspirations of becoming a software engineer. But I discovered as I moved with the industry that I quite enjoyed building things, probably more than designing them. So I stuck with it. And you've seen my profile, and you'll probably ask me to talk in a minute about teaching computer science without a computer science degree too. So I did that for a little bit as well.
Okay. So since you actually didn't do that in college, and then you were in design, how was your learning? Did you learn to be a software engineer on your own, or you had some kind of direction from a mentor or anybody like you looked up to?
Yeah, it was very much that. It was very much learning from the people around you. So when I was a sort of graphic designer for the web, I was in a team with a lot of guys who were designing and building websites. And I thought my job's a little bit simple, right? Maybe I don't want to do this forever. So I learned how to do the job that those guys did. And it was sort of an unofficial sort of mentoring thing that I had with them. So the more experienced guys who were building these websites would kind of tell me what to look at and tell me what I need to learn. And then I went away in my own time and learned to build websites, and sort of eventually started building websites at work as well. And like I say, it grew from there. Is once you've built one website or two, you had this portfolio that you were building, and that enabled you to apply for more jobs building websites, and your portfolio grows and grows and grows. And then, like I say, that natural transition with the industry into, building applications instead of building websites. But yeah, doing that, I picked up a sort of interest in building software as well. So I from there, I started off doing a lot of hobbyist stuff as well, a lot of hobby software in sort of various different languages too.
Great. Do you think the kind of people around you influenced your learning or the direction that you took? Could it have been different if you didn't have any kind of people to look up to, or people to give you direction?
Yeah, absolutely. That was huge. That was a massive part of it. I think a lot of, so your degree or going to university or college or whatever, that will kind of get you your first job, perhaps, right? Doing whatever it is. But from there, it's all about the people you work with, and it's about these relationships that you form, and it's about learning off the guys who are more experienced than you. So yeah, being around these sort of really capable people, and having them, you know, sort of take time to teach me and show me the ropes, that was a massive part, and probably the only reason I moved into, you know, I moved from designing banners to designing and building websites, because those guys gave me the time and the skills and the sort of encouragement to do it. So there is a huge place that once you get your first job, there is a huge place for sort of mentorship and whatever it's called, and learning off your peers, and doing your own sort of professional development as well, you know, in your own time. I think that is what really makes a difference once you start off in industry.
Okay. So is there any way that in your transition you kind of had issues with, you know, your confidence, because, you know, coming from design and then transition from to software engineering, but not really from a computer science background, ideally, did that actually make you feel like, are you going to be able to do this, or, you know, do you have to go back to, I mean, to that path, and then you learn the skills actually, and did that have an influence on your confidence?
Yeah, of course, it was a huge there were huge times when I thought, maybe I can't do this, or maybe it's too complicated. That sort of imposter syndrome, you know. It's so, you know, you're learning off these guys and you're building your own stuff, but then work tell you to build something massive, or they tell you to build something you've never done before, and you think, I don't really know what I'm doing. I'm not sure I can do this. But then you kind of, I guess, find that self-belief, and you start doing it. Mm-hmm. You just start doing it, and that gives you the self-belief that, you know what, this is building on the skills I already have. You know, it's problem solving using skills that I've kind of learned off these guys, or I've learned from my own stuff. So yeah, in doing that, you know, initially you think maybe you can't do something, but then you start it, and then, you know, as you progress, and as you realize that you're doing this well, and you are sort of completing the task, that does give you that confidence that you can actually do it. And of course, you know, once you've then completed that more difficult job, that more difficult task, you then, you know, it gives you more self-belief, but it also gives you those technical skills that you've picked up along the way. So yeah, when you're faced with, you know, sort of a big problem or one you haven't seen before, it's going to be daunting. Of course it is, but you just get stuck in, and you know, you come out the other side. Yeah, definitely. But it's a perfectly normal thing to feel like you can't do something when you're suddenly presented with something sort of much bigger or different to what you've seen before.
Okay, so when you are presented with difficult tasks during your job, how do you get over it? How do you unblock yourself? You know, what are the resources you use? Do you look at people, or do you kind of go online and look up on the answers yourself?
Yeah, so I always found a lot of benefit in being around people who are more experienced and being around people who had done this before. Okay. It sort of almost felt like a safety net, you know, that, yeah, you've been given this thing to do on your own that you're not sure about, but you're surrounded by a team of guys who have done it and who can do it and can support you. So yeah, I mean, you know, initially you'd say to these guys, I'm not sure I can do this, I don't really know what's happening, and they'd, you know, they talk to me and they'd say, look, it's not that hard. Mm-hmm. You know, here's sort of a starting point, or, you know, it's clearly building on stuff you've done before. And then for the actual details of it, so the stuff, the syntax or whatever you need to look up, then that's when you go online. But initially it really helps to have those guys around you, that more experienced, those peers around you, you know, who can give you mostly the encouragement, but also the technical expertise as well. So there's, yeah, I mean, you can just learn stuff off Stack Overflow, and I have built stuff in my own time, but, you know, or when I haven't been surrounded by guys more experienced than me, I have just used online resources. But I think especially when you're starting out, mostly for the confidence boost, mostly just for that support network, it is important to have these people around you.
Okay, great. So even at the current moment, how do you what are the resources that you use to improve your skills or stay up in the game? You know, probably I can guess that you know, you're not in the previous time that probably be going to people to be asking questions. Maybe you're the big guy now, so you kind of have to find your answers on your own. So how do you go and keep learning?
Yeah, exactly. I've been doing this for long enough now that, you know, my last few tech gigs, I've basically just left on my own to get the job done. Or, you know, I find myself now in teams where I'm the only developer and have done for the last couple of years. But because I have that experience, and, you know, I've pretty much seen everything and done everything, it's not so bad. You know, when you have that decade or whatever of experience behind you, and, you know, you're presented with a job, you think, okay, you know, I've probably seen this before, I can just do it, right? So, you know, confidence and ability to do things without those people around you does come with time and does come with experience. But in terms of sort of learning and development, most of my learning and development now is kind of focused on my outside of work projects and my sort of hobby programming projects. Okay. Because for work, you know, I'm very comfortable with the technology and what I do, like I say, because I've been doing this for so long. So it's kind of routine almost. But outside of what I do for a living, I like to challenge myself with, you know, sort of programming projects and building all sorts of products. So recently, over the last couple of years at least, I've done Python. I've taught myself enough Python to build sort of self-driving car technology. I've taught myself enough C++ to build sort of an automatic gearbox for a racing game. And I've learned, I do a lot of Unreal Engine development as well in my own time. So all of these sort of skills outside of what I do for a living, but still programming, still development, you know, I've kept myself sharp by taking on these projects and delivering. You know, these are products that people use and people see. Some of my products have tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of views on YouTube and stuff. So, you know, it's still building it for an audience. It's still building it for a purpose. But yeah, it's very important to challenge yourself, even if it's not in what you do every day. If it's still programming, it's important to challenge yourself in that discipline, in your own projects, and make sure you're building things that are beneficial to people as well. I think that's very important. There was one more thing I was going to say along with, yeah. So the skills are transferable.
Okay.
If you're doing these hobby projects in different languages, if you're challenging yourself with Python and C++ and game development and stuff, these skills are directly transferable to your job as well. Because with programming, 95% of it, as I always used to tell my students, is logic and it's the way you think and the way you approach problems. The syntax is secondary. So, you know, if you learn something new in Python, if you learn something new in C++ or game development, you can transfer those skills back to your sort of everyday job, your web development, because even though the syntax is different, the transferable skills are the same, you know, object-oriented, that kind of stuff. And it works both ways. You can transfer skills you've learned in web development directly into your, you know, into picking up a new language, because there's a lot of similarities. C++ is, in terms of syntax, very similar to JavaScript, that kind of thing. So it's all transferable, but you should always keep challenging yourself and doing projects and, you know, in all kinds of programming disciplines.
Okay, that's very awesome. I must say you probably like gaming. I don't know, probably that's from your, when you were young, you like gaming or something like that, even becoming an indie app developer. What does that mean to become an indie app developer?
Yeah, so, I've always done my own, like I just said, I've always done my own projects on the side, or products on the side that, you know, that people have used that's outside of work. But in terms of, so on my CV, I list, I think it's 3 or 4 months as sort of indie app developer. That was time I dedicated, but I wasn't working for a company. Okay. And I wasn't teaching. I just left a teaching job. So I kind of wanted to dedicate some time to just doing my own thing, basically full time. I built, you know, a couple of applications during that time, which, you know, found an audience and it was all good. But taking that time to do my own thing and do those side projects, you know, I still do side projects, a lot of side stuff now as well, but taking that time to focus purely on that, I think was really important for me personally for my return to industry, because like I say, I'd been in teaching roles for 2 years at that point. So I needed to take this time to just build product full time for 3 or 4 months. And that really, you know, like I'm saying, the hobby projects directly feed into work, feed into the skills you use at work. So taking that time really prepared me to go back to industry and go back to sort of being a full-time permanent developer. So that's what that was. I guess a learning time.
Okay, that's good. That's good. I must say, it's good that you took the teaching aspect as well. And even during those times, what are some of the experiences that you had? You saw people coming up into the industry. You taught them. What are some of the things that you saw that you can say would be your general advice to people in trying to transition into the industry of tech?
So my my advice to people trying to get into the industry is just to build things. What I've always said is, you know, like I say, your degree, whatever it's in, maybe gets you your first job. But from then on, it's all based on your experience and what you've built and what you've delivered. So if you've, you know, if you've done your boot camp or you've done a degree in an unrelated subject or whatever, that's fine. But to get into industry, what you need to do is you need to take time to build product that's relevant to the industry you want to enter. Whether it's building websites for local companies, whether it's building applications that you then place on an app store, whether it's building digital product that you put on YouTube, that finds an audience and finds a user base, whether you build a load of stuff that's only useful to you and put it on GitHub. The point is you're building and delivering product, and you're building and delivering product that is relevant to the line of work you want to go into. So if you want to be, if you want to be a front-end developer or whatever, then I'd recommend you build React products that people want to use. If you want to get into game development, build a load of Unreal Engine product. If you want to go into Python dev, build a load of Python product. But the point is you need to build product. You need to take the time to build product and deliver it and demonstrate that that stuff you built has an audience, a user base, and people are genuinely finding it useful. And that is what will set you apart from everybody else who's done a boot camp or just done a degree and not really done a lot after that. If you can go into your interview with this huge portfolio, some of it may be commercial, like I say, if you've done stuff for local companies, but if you go in with a huge portfolio of projects which you've built and delivered, which have a user base, that will set you apart from everybody else who's going for that same job.
Okay, that's good. How do you think working with a team influenced your career as well? You know, what are some of the skills that you learned working with people? You know, apart from your technical skills, what are some of the skills outside your technical abilities that you think helped you? You know, in your career, or something that you can even advise to other people, you know, when you go working with a team, these are some of the things that you should be looking at. These are some of the skills that you should build to help you in your career journey.
Yeah. So when you're starting out, what you need to do is you need to kind of be prepared to be willing to learn off the guys who are around you. So the more experienced guys that are around you, you need to have a good relationship with them. And, you know, obviously ask them for help. I guess that, you know, they're busy people too, right? But make the most of the people around you and those relationships that you build, because the people around you when you're starting out will, you know, be very valuable in terms of teaching you and mentoring you and that kind of thing. So build those relationships with the guys you're working with and make the most of the people that are around you. When you work in business, when you're a developer in business, you learn a lot of other skills as well. You learn a lot about stakeholder management. That is probably a hugely, hugely important thing. Sort of managing your own workload and setting people's expectations, being able to explain what's involved in a task. So especially in faster moving industries like retail, people can come at you suddenly with all kinds of crazy requests. Mm-hmm. And you need to be able to explain to them how long it's going to take and why it's going to take that long, and kind of make them accept what you're saying. So they give you a more realistic deadline, or they accept that a product will be, you know, maybe smaller than they've dreamed of or whatever. So being able to manage people's expectations and manage stakeholders is a hugely important skill that you will learn. And the more experienced you become, the more time you spend in business, you get much better at that. The other thing you will, I guess the other skills you will learn are sort of salesmanship as well. So, you know, you can start your first company and you can learn off the guys there and you can build this huge portfolio, but without any kind of sales skills, you'll never be able to sell yourself into your next job or your next company. So you need to, I would say, alongside what you're doing for a living, mm-hmm. and alongside all the soft skills you learn, like the stakeholder management, you also need to take some time to learn some sales skills as well.
Okay.
So they are sort of vitally important, especially when we all go back to meeting people in person and shaking hands and that kind of thing. It's vitally important to be able to sell your own skill set. When it comes to sort of moving jobs, because when you apply for your next job, there'll be, again, a lot of people who also want that job, equally qualified people, no doubt. But what will set you apart is how you engage the people in the room and how you sell your experience to them. So I would absolutely recommend that once you've got the, you know, sort of a technical experience and the business skills, I would say you should definitely learn some sales skills as well, just so you can keep progressing and keep moving on. It's certainly been a large part of my career. I would say a large part of it is kind of due to those sales skills as well, in terms of how I was able to move on and move up quite quickly in sort of my first tech career, you know, which I think it was 5 years or something from sort of starting out graphic design junior, whatever, to sort of senior developer and contractor. And a lot of that was definitely due to good salesmanship as well as my ability.
Okay. Is there any moment where you brought any of your skills in design to software engineering?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, completely. There is still an overlap, and I think this is why it's quite valuable if you've come from a design background into development, because there is becoming this massive skills gap where you have a load of people who are great developers but have no design ability. And I've certainly found in pretty much every development job I've had, I found myself doing some design work, whether it's just kind of advising on how things should look and how things should move around, or whether it's literally doing designs in Photoshop or Figma or whatever, or doing, you know, do even still doing the odd banner and that kind of thing, you still will use those design skills in software engineering. So there is at the moment a huge gap in this skill set in most software engineers, because they've purely been software engineers, right? They've done computer science, boot camps, whatever. So if you can be the developer who also has that design ability and can do that design stuff, I think there's a big gap in the market opening up again for people who can do both. And again, if you're a skilled developer and you're applying for a job with a lot of other skilled developers, what will set you apart is that design ability, because it is still used and it is still an important thing to have. And you will find it being used. They may not tell you about it at the interview, but invariably you'll find yourself doing some design most likely.
Okay. That's great. Do you remember the first app or the first project that you did when you became a software engineer? I must say, probably you built a lot of things, but what was the first thing that, you know, you were able to build when you finally transitioned into the software and development area?
Yeah. So the first big project I did was in my second or third year, where I'd sort of transitioned from graphic design to web design to building websites. So I obviously built a lot of small web pages and stuff for retailers during that time. But my first big project ties in on a contract to this company who wanted to completely redesign and rebuild their existing site. So they used to sell theme park tickets and that kind of stuff. So it was like a fixed term contract to come in and design this new site for them. This was at the time when responsive design was really new as well. So, you know, I'd kind of gained that experience of the retailers. But yeah, it was coming, do the wireframes from the wireframe stage all the way through to with Photoshop. It was Photoshop back in those days, with Photoshop designs. Mm-hmm. And then also build the front end, completely build the front end of this website. And then kind of hand it over to the it was .NET guys again back in the day, to integrate it. And then from there, my next gig was it was also doing that, but also doing some integration as well. Mm-hmm. So it was working directly in sort of that .NET environment to integrate it. So yeah, my first big project was this redesign and rebuild of this sort of responsive theme park ticket site in 2013.
Okay, that's cool. Okay, that's cool. So I know all that probably a software engineer needs is probably their laptop or their internet. Is there any other thing that you work with, any tools that you work with on your job?
I mean, technically, yeah, that's all you need. I found it beneficial to have two monitors, a proper keyboard and a mouse for sure, and a good chair. If you can get yourself a good home office setup or a good office setup, it pays to have a good chair, decent keyboard, decent mouse, and a couple of monitors. I think what I would recommend is build it like you're building a gaming setup. If you're going to build a gaming PC setup, do the same kind of thing for software dev. But yeah, physically, all you need is a laptop. And there's been times where I've purely worked off a laptop on the train, whatever, you know, sat in the garden. But yeah, I think for proper development, I do all my own projects on a proper setup with multiple monitors and, you know, a proper chair and a desk and stuff. So definitely build yourself this development sort of space that you know, would be also suitable for gaming. They're very similar kind of setups. So definitely build yourself that space where you can just sit and do 8-9 hours solid on this stuff, definitely, yeah.
Okay, that's cool. So there's this notion that when you come into software engineering, you kind of need to have some mathematical background, or you can have to be great mathematician or something like that. What is your say about it? Do you think it is like that when you jump into the field, or you kind of see it differently?
It is different. I barely passed my maths. I don't know what they're called. I don't know what they called around the world, but I barely passed my maths GCSE, it was called, what you do when you're 15 years old in the UK. So I barely passed maths, basically. I've been a successful developer for about 10 years. I've taught computer science at college level. I've built machine learning Python applications. I've done C# and C++ stuff. You don't need maths. What you do need is sort of a really logical mindset. A lot of this is about the way you think, and you need to think in a logical way. You need to be able to break big problems down into small steps and go, okay, you solve this one, then you work the next problem, and then you keep working those problems until you reach your end goal. So it's all about the way you think, the way you approach problems. Like I say, as soon as you have that logical mindset, and as soon as you understand how various paradigms operate, once you understand how event-driven stuff operates, once you understand how object-oriented stuff operates, those skills are completely transferable between languages. It's just the syntax that changes. So yeah, it's all about logic, the way you think, and understanding how programs and computers work. Maths is, you know, it's in real life, unless you're building software for airliners or fighter jets or, you know, maybe medical applications or whatever, it's not really a big deal. You certainly don't need a strong maths background to do software development. What you need is the right way of thinking, the time and sort of the dedication to building things. And that's pretty much it. Just the attitude.
Okay. That's cool. Is there any moment where a passion played a role in your journey? Because I think at some point it will be a rough journey where you kind of feel motivated and demotivated because maybe a particular problem is keeping you on the hook. You don't know even how to go about it. Is there any moment where passion played a role, or you kind of got help from people around you so you were able to move on with that? Or you within yourself, what kept you going?
Yeah, I think there's sort of two separate sort of areas to that. So the first one is you obviously need the passion and the interest for it to want to do it in the first place. Especially in the early days, you know, you need that interest in it to keep you going and to keep learning. you know, and weirdly, it's kind of backwards at the end of it. Once you've done it for long enough, it does just kind of become just the job, yeah. Right? And then you extend your passion into the stuff you do outside of work, the programming stuff you do outside of work. But that's something that comes after like I say, 10 years or whatever. In terms of passion keeping you going and interest keeping you going during the times that are maybe tougher, I'm not sure if in industry it's the passion that keeps you going to solve a problem. It's that it's your job and it needs to be done. the motivation is that, you know, look, you've come this far to be in this position, being a developer in your second year, your third year, whatever, right? You want to keep building on this success and you want to keep delivering successfully. So that is what gives you the motivation to keep going. You know, yeah, this is a tough problem now, or yeah, you've got to ask the other guys around you for help. What keeps you going is that once this is delivered, you know, it's going to make a big impact on the business, and you know you're going to have that portfolio piece to share, and that will eventually bring you personally more success in the future. If you get past this problem, if you solve it, not only do you come out with new skills, but you also come out with a portfolio piece, sort of another string to your bow that you can say, I did this. And that, again, brings you future success.
Okay. So it's more like not really all about passion. It's more of looking at what is ahead of you, you know, and then also looking behind, you know, how far you've come, and then and trying to stay focused on your job.
Yeah. For me, a lot of motivation when I started out was I worked with a lot of contractors, and I saw those contractors had very nice cars. And I thought, okay, so if I keep doing this, if I keep working at this, can I get there? Can I do this, right?
Yeah.
That was my motivation, is that if I keep building this school, if I keep moving up the ladder and building, you know, building more things and tougher things and, you know, moving into sort of more challenging positions, eventually that puts you in a place and builds your portfolio where you can, for me, where I could become a contractor, right? And that came quite quickly. Like I say, I was there about 5 years or something before I was in that position. During that time, it was that dedication to that goal to reach that point, you know, that kept me going and kept pushing me. Of course, once I'd done it, I kind of felt like I'd won. So that's when I thought, okay, cool. So I've, you know, you've only done this for 5 years. You've reached the goal that you set out to achieve. What next? And that's when I went into teaching and thought I'd kind of pass it on for a little bit. And obviously, you know, eventually made the decision to go back to industry because I just missed programming, you know, sort of doing that every day, really. But yeah, I think it's everyone's drivers and motivators are different. But for me, it was wanting to become better at what I do and get into better positions. And, you know, I set myself that goal of being a contractor, and it was wanting to achieve that goal as quickly as I could. And that's what kept me going. For some people, you know, their goals might be different. Maybe they want to, instead of being a contractor, maybe they want to move up the development ladder. Maybe they want to be lead developers. Maybe they want to be head of software engineering or whatever. Right. And that's fine. If they use that as a driver, as long as you have something to motivate you, you can reach your goal. And the more dedicated you are to it and the more work you put into it, not just work in terms of coding, but also work in terms of the other stuff I said, like the, you know, the software skills, the salesmanship, portfolio building. But if you put that effort in, you will reach your goals. You know, some people want to transition into sort of a more business path from software development. And again, as long as you have a goal and you keep pushing towards that goal, you will get there. And the more dedicated you are to it, the faster that will happen.
Okay. I wanted to talk a little bit about your teaching. What actually led you to it? Was it your motivation to, you know, give back to the community, or it was for a different purpose?
It was pretty much that. It was like I say, I'd reached my goal or whatever. And I thought, okay, so literally what's next? So I thought that, you know, kind of I wanted to, I guess there were three things. There was, I wanted a new challenge. I wanted to do something completely different. I wanted to give back. I wanted to help people achieve what I'd achieved. I wanted to help people get into my industry. And also You know, I guess after 5 years of just pushing constantly, maybe I was slightly burnt out doing it as well. Honestly. So, it was about something new, but it was also about, you know, doing something that's of benefit to people, genuinely of benefit to people, and helping people get into that, you know, get the success that I had, I guess. So yeah, it was, I guess, giving something back is a good way to sum it up, definitely. Yeah.
Okay. No, that's great. That's great. So what would be your advice to, you know, someone coming up as, you know, coming from a different field, and they're trying to transition, what would be your general advice to someone like that? Maybe you saw a few things that helped you. You saw some skills that you developed that helped you, or some things that you wouldn't do now that you did earlier on that maybe slowed your journey. Anything like that to someone like that? Yeah.
So I would, the things I would say is don't just build stuff at work, build stuff when you get home as well, build stuff that genuinely interests you when you get home, and just keep building product. I would also say don't be kind of daunted, or don't dodge the tougher stuff at work. You know, sometimes maybe I didn't take on the bigger projects because I was not confident or whatever. Maybe if I'd taken on those sooner, maybe I could have gone a little bit faster. But it's always embrace those challenges, embrace those new things that come along, learn how to do it, build your skill set, build your portfolio, build your soft skills like your stakeholder management, and build your sales skills are probably the four sort of key takeaways for someone who wants to succeed, and also have a motivator that's enough to keep you going.
Okay. So in general, how do you think software engineering has impacted your life?
So it's brought me a lot of things. It has brought me a lot of things, not just material. It enabled me to go into teaching and do this absolutely fantastic job in teaching that I really enjoyed for a couple of years. It enabled me to move away to sort of a city that I very much loved and spend a couple of years there. It's brought me a lot of, obviously the financial gains of it do bring you a lot of peace of mind, and you know, you can appreciate the material gains of it as well. But mostly for me, the benefits of it have been, you know, it's allowed me to do these things that I wouldn't have been able to do had I not been a software engineer. So it's allowed me to teach, which I loved. It allowed me to live in this city that I loved. And like I say, it's brought me a lot of financial peace outside of work, which is genuinely a valuable thing, because it gives you a lot of peace of mind as an individual. If you're not worrying about how to pay the bills or whatever, it leaves you free to focus on the things that you enjoy, and kind of, you know, embrace your passions a little bit more because your mind is free. So, you know, if you want to go scuba diving or whatever, it gives you that mental space, or to pick up a new skill. It just gives you the space you need to do that without worrying every day. So yeah, it's brought me a lot of benefits, and I would not have done anything else realistically. I would not have made any different decisions along the way.
Okay, that's true. If there's anything that you think I haven't touched on, you can go on it. But also, if you want to reach you, you can also put that out. How do we get in touch with you?
Yeah, so I have a portfolio website, which is tjmortimer.com, which has a contact me link on it. Of course, I'm also on LinkedIn, where I'm quite open about my thoughts, my feelings on the industry, and how it's changed, and you know, what people can and should do within industry. So maybe, you know, maybe it will entertain and also educate that. So as well as that, I put a lot of my hobbyist programming projects on YouTube. The channel name is TJ Mortimer. So if you want to see my work, I'd recommend the portfolio and the YouTube channel. Sure. And like I say, there's a contact form on the portfolio website. But if you want to connect, if you want advice or whatever, I'm obviously on LinkedIn under my own name.
Okay. That's great. I'm very honored and I'm grateful that you joined us today. There's a lot of story that impactful story, and also a lot of, you know, skills that you've made us know. And, you know, sharing your story, I know a lot of people would take a lot of tips from this, and then it's going to carry their career path. And so we're grateful that you joined us today. We hope that we'll be able to do this another time in the future. So have a wonderful time wherever you are, and enjoy being the Chris of the engineer you are, and keep rocking it. So see you next time.
It's been a real pleasure. Thank you for inviting me on the show. Take care.
Okay, awesome. Take care. Bye.